New series of the award-winning comedy Believe It, in which Richard Wilson spills some of the beans about his life. Today, prepare for some more secrets.
Christmas Eve, 1945. I couldn't sleep. What little boy can on Christmas Eve? Then I heard music coming from the living room. It was him, wasn't it? He'd come down the chimney and put a song on the radiogram to cover the noise of the reindeer hooves. I lay in bed, trying to resist, but I couldn't. I tiptoed down the stairs and put my hand on the doorknob. Gently, gently, I eased the door open, no more than an inch, and that's when I heard the giggles. Were they reindeer giggles? No. Too girly. I opened the door a few inches more. Did I dare switch on the light? No. Yes. No. Yes. It was... And she didn't have her vest on. He was squeezing her. It looked like he was milking her. Who were they then? Well, now, that would be telling. And I don't tell. I'm a private man. I believe in secrets. But I'll tell you this much. That was the night I stopped believing in Father Christmas. I believe for every... You're listening to Believe It, the life story of me, Richard Wilson. This is my radiography. They're dead now, and the dead have no secrets, do they? So I'll tell you. She was Rita, Auntie Rita, my mother's sister. And the man with his hands all over her was not Father Christmas, but Father. What a pretty woman my mother's sister Rita was. Prettier than my mother, thinner and younger. I said nothing to anyone. Ours was a Scots Presbyterian house. Saying nothing came naturally. In our family, all the secrets were swept under the carpet. It's a wonder our carpets weren't 3 feet off the floor. 6 months later, Auntie Rita sat weeping in the kitchen with my mother. That night, I asked Mother about it.
Was she crying because she's fat?
Wash your mouth out.
But it's true. Why has she got so fat?
Your aunt is going to Australia and she's never coming back.
Is that because she's fat?
Yes.
A year later, when my father died, Auntie Rita was not at the funeral. No, she'd gone to Australia, land of the fat. If you put on more than half a stone, you emigrated to Australia. I thought that's why they called them 10-pound poms. 4 years later, I saw Mother cutting up photos and putting them on the fire.
What are you doing, Ma?
I felt the heat on my face as I made out the melting image.
That's Auntie Rita. Who's the boy with her?
Never you mind. And I will thank you not to mention your Auntie Rita in this house ever again.
Did she do something wrong, Ma?
She did.
What was it?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes.
Good, so can I. You must promise me you'll never speak to your auntie again. If you get a letter from her, throw it on the fire. Promise me now.
I promise. Listen, do you want to know a
secret? Do you promise not to tell? In 1963, when I was 27, living in a bedsit in North London, I got an airmail letter from Rita Doherty in Perth, Australia. Without reading it, I tore it into strips and fed it through the bars of my electric fire. I kept my promise. Decades went by, and still I never talked about Rita. The giggles, the tears, the fatness, the flight to Australia, the burning photo of the little boy. I kept them all to myself. It was 1993. I was watching Neighbours with my friend Celia Imrie when I got the call.
4347? Yes?
Oh. Yes. Can you turn the sound down? This is extraordinary. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
What's happened?
When do you land? Okay, I'll meet you 2 hours later in Trafalgar Square under Nelson's column. I'm so glad the secret's out.
What secret?
I look forward to meeting you, Doug. Till Friday. Bye.
What secret?
It's a secret.
Oh, come on. Your secret's made me miss Neighbours. You owe me.
Oh, no. Celia wasn't going to squeeze any soap out of me. Doug was mine and mine alone. My half-brother, my father's son, Doug Wilson. His mother, my Aunt Rita, had just died, and now he was in England to meet the family who'd denied his existence all his life. The next few days were very exciting. I couldn't think of anything else. How often do you get to meet a new member of your family who's not a baby? Would he look like me? Would he like the things I like? Theatre, soccer, politics. Then I saw him striding across Trafalgar Square, waving at me.
Richard!
A 6-foot blonde man in his 40s with a ponytail. A ponytail? No one in my family had ever had one of those.
Ah, good day, mate. Brilliant, you look just like you do on TV.
So pleased to meet you, Doug.
Aye, put that away, mate. No handshakes. I'm hugging you and never letting go. That feel nice?
Mm. I thought of my father squeezing his mother in the living room. Now, here was Doug squeezing me.
Tell me everything you've been doing for the last 43 years, Brother Richard.
I will, Doug, I promise.
Brother Doug, say it.
I will, Brother Doug.
You don't sound sure.
I was saying it in Australian, with a question mark. I watch a lot of Neighbours.
Ah, me too! I knew we'd have loads in common. I can really see my mother in you. You've got her eyebrows.
Well, I hope I haven't got her hair.
You haven't got any hair, mate.
That's what I meant.
Ah, you're being funny! I'm funny too. It's a family trait. Let me take a photo of you.
Of course!
I want a full-length you and a full-length Nelson's column. I better move back a bit, I suppose.
Doug retreated further and further until he was just a speck.
Smile!
Half an hour later, we were in the Ivy, London's hottest showbiz restaurant. Doug had never been to London before. I wanted to show him a good time.
And when I was two, she married a guy called Arthur, who I always called Dad. And it wasn't until Arthur died that she told me who my real dad was.
I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault, Brother Richard. You didn't know I existed, did you? Your family kept it from you.
I knew without knowing, if you see what I mean.
Jeez! It's Michael Douglas, isn't it?
No, that's David Dimbleby.
You sure? The guy with Whoopi Goldberg.
That's Moira Stewart.
I thought this restaurant was full of movie stars. That's Harrison Ford, ain't it?
Where?
Over there!
Oh, yes. Your luck's in, Brother Doug.
Oh.
I didn't have the heart to tell him it was Michael Heseltine. I couldn't keep letting him down. I'd let him down all his life.
I want you to know, I don't bear you or your mother a grudge. You did what you had to do, you know. All that matters is what happens now. From now on, you're my brother.
Christ, this wine is fantastic.
It's Australian.
Ah, thought so. It's got that lovely tin peaches thing. You like them? Let's drink to No More Secrets.
Where are you staying?
It's a secret.
No, I'm kidding you. It's more funny stuff right there.
I'm staying in a bed and breakfast in Cricklewood.
No, you're not.
No.
I have a dream, a song to sing.
And so for the rest of this month in London, Doug stayed with me in my flat. I bought bottles of peachy Australian Chardonnay and steaks. Doug loved steaks. We ate and we drank and we listened to ABBA. Doug loved ABBA. And now I loved ABBA too. He told me the story of his life.
And then I did a catering course because I had this vision of opening a restaurant.
What kind?
A steakhouse. I even had a name. The Doug House, you know? Like Dog House, only Doug House.
What happened?
I couldn't get a bank to believe in me. After that, I kind of drifted. I got a job as a photocopier salesman. Been doing that for 22 years. As a temporary job, you know. You ever sold photocopiers?
I haven't, no.
You'd be good at it. It's just like being an actor. You have a script, and you do it like you mean it.
Do it for me now.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'd love to see what you do.
Oh, okay. Well, you're the customer, and I'm me, okay? Here goes. Your photocopier is not just a machine, Mr. Wilson. Your photocopier is the heart of your office. So, you have to ask yourself, how important is it to have a heart that functions perfectly?
Oh, extremely important.
That's right, Mr. Wilson. It's extremely important. A healthy heart that never stops beating. Nothing's more important than that. The Xantex 900 XJC is destined to become the colour copier of the 90s.
I'll take it.
You don't say that yet. I go on for another 12 minutes.
I'm saying it now. I want a Xantex, whatever it was. How much?
I'm confused. Are you acting now?
No, I need a photocopier in my life, and I want to buy it from you. I put it next to the fireplace.
You sure? It's kind of big.
I like big. Big is good. It would be a monument to our shared blood.
Oh, jeez, thanks, Brother Richard. This is fantastic. I just sold a photocopier without even meaning to. I'm on a roll.
The machine arrived 2 weeks later. It took four men to carry it in. It was monumentally good. I took him to the Tower of London, Buck House, the National Theatre. I took him to see Spurs play my beloved Manchester United. I even explained the offside rule. I did everything except introduce him to my friends. I wanted Doug all to myself. When I took him to Heathrow for his flight home, it was me who went for the hug.
Come back to England any time you like.
Oh, thanks, Brother Richard. It's been fantastic.
My pleasure, Brother Doug.
I was aware someone was watching us. A rather glamorous woman. When Doug went off, she came up and introduced herself.
Susie Baker. I write the Every Woman column in the Mirror, and I'm a huge fan of your work.
Thank you.
You're really clever and funny, and all my girlfriends like you, and I'd love to have your babies.
Oh, goodness, that's very kind. Nice to meet you.
Was that your brother?
No.
You called him brother?
I called everyone brother.
I would so love to interview you. I've just got back from Mykonos. Let's do it soon while I've still got a tan.
Right. Well, okay then. Brother,
what could I do? I agreed she could come to my flat the following day, but I was determined not to tell her about Doug.
Wow! I love your living room. You've got the lovely soft furnishings, the ruched curtains, and the world's biggest photocopier.
It's not unbig, is it?
Why'd you buy that then? Midlife crisis? Was it that or a motorbike?
I'd rather not say.
And why would you rather not say?
I'd rather not say why I'd rather not say. Can I get you some tea or coffee?
I always bring champagne when I'm interviewing someone I really admire. Shall we chill it? Nah, sod it. Let's just open it and neck it as it comes.
Thank you, but I don't drink.
That's okay. You can sniff my fumes. So, is it true you love Neighbours?
Goodness, do you know that?
I share a cleaner with Celia Imrie. Are you a Kylie man or a Jason man?
I like them both.
But if you could only have one of them, which would it be?
Have as a neighbour, you mean?
Why not? Which one would you rather look at sunbathing nude in their garden?
I would respect their privacy.
You're very big on privacy, aren't you?
I am.
You don't think all secrets are meant to be revealed?
No.
Oh, champagne's gone all through me. Where's your loo? And don't say it's private.
Susie Baker left the room. I thought, yes, I should tell her about Doug. Doug deserved to be talked about after 40 years under the carpet. Then I thought, no, he had his privacy too. Then I thought, she's been gone for ages. I went out the room and knocked on the bathroom door.
You all right? Hello? Are you in there, Susie?
Then I thought, she's walked out. She knows she's going to get nothing out of me, so she's gone. And then I thought, no, I bet she's snooping round my flat. Sure enough, there she was, in my bedroom.
Who said you could do that?
What?
Take off your clothes.
What do you think of my tan?
This is an outrage.
Men usually love my breasts. What do you think, Richard?
This is an entirely unprofessional way to conduct an interview.
My nickname at school was Melons.
I'm leaving now.
You can't. You live here. Come on. Come here. You know you want to.
How do you know what I want?
We'll make love. And while we're at it, you'll tell me everything.
You're a disgrace to your profession. You haven't even got a pen.
I know what you're thinking. Then what happened? I'm not saying. That's what privacy means. No maybe about it. I'm not saying anything happened, and I'm not saying nothing happened. I'm not saying full stop. I'll tell you this, though. She got nothing out of me about Doug. A month later, I got a letter from him.
Dear Richard, it's Brother Doug here, mate. Hope you're well and enjoying your photocopier. I saw that interview you did with that woman. They reprinted it in the West Australian. She sounds like a right piece of work. Nice gazongas, though. Anyway, I was wondering if I could come over and stay with you again. Is March good? Or April? Maybe May? How about June? How about July to December? Cheers, Doug.
Up with your flight.
Ah, great, thanks. Good to see you again.
Are you hungry? Do you want to grab a sandwich? I mean, it's a 90-minute drive.
Well, how about dinner at the Ivy?
Really? You want to go straight to the Ivy?
Yeah, maybe Harrison Ford will be there again.
An hour later, Doug checked in his backpack at the Ivy.
So I said to myself, Doug, it's your only life. Do you want to spend it staring at the light of the photocopier? Oh, is that Pierce Brosnan?
No, that's Michael Portillo.
All right. So I call my mate Felix from Catering College. He runs a restaurant called Pizza Heaven in Shepherd's Bush, you know?
I know Shepherd's Bush.
And he offered me a job as a sous chef. I start next Monday. Isn't that great? Right, the cheesecake here is sensational. And not too cheesy and not too cakey is what cheesecake's all about.
Would you like coffee?
No, thanks. I'm bushed. Let me get the bill.
Oh, that's very kind.
Waiter, will you bring my brother the bill?
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
In the week before he started his job, Doug was a treasure. I'd come home and there he'd be, singing away, and he griddled steaks for our supper. Then he found some music he loved even more than ABBA. A compilation album. It was, now that's what I call brother.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
Every night I came home to a different brother song.
Oh, Richard, my brother.
Richard, my brother, you are older than me. That was Doug's party piece, literally. He sang it in my living room at my 58th birthday party in 1994. He sang it again at my 59th. On account of his gift for repetition, my old pal Anthony Sher nicknamed him the photocopier. I didn't join in the joke. You don't, do you, when the joke's against your brother? After the guests left, Doug helped me clear up.
Now we're alone. There's something I want to say. I've been living here now, what, 18 months?
19?
I think the time has come, Brother Richard.
Well, I'm sad, Brother Doug, but you're right. Where is it then?
What?
Your new place.
My place is here with you.
Right, sorry, yes. So, the time has come for what?
Me to open my own steakhouse. Bring on the Doug House. There's a premises vacant 2 minutes walk from here. Imagine that. We can walk to work.
I work there too, do I?
Yeah, you got the nicest job of all. You meet and greet. You bring in the stars. You know Harrison Ford.
Michael Heseltine.
I want you to have a stake in the business. Pun intended. I've maxed out my cards. I've cashed in my life assurance. All I want from you is £100,000. What do you say?
You want me to invest £100,000 in your restaurant?
No, I want you to give it, and then you won't have to worry about getting it back.
You want me to give you £100,000?
Yeah.
You've stayed here rent-free for 19 months.
I have, that's why I'm asking. I know there's no limit to your generosity. Once we get the place up and running, it's a license to print money.
You're sure it's not a license to photocopy money?
You've got no faith in me, have you? I don't even think you like me. When you did that interview with that woman, you didn't even mention me. Your own brother.
Will you stop saying brother? My father had sex once in 1945 with your mother. You're my half-brother.
Okay, I'm your half-brother. Forget the 100,000.
Give me 50.
Every time I see your face, it reminds me of the places we used to go.
He flew back to Oz a week later, and I haven't seen him since. I did like him when he first rang me out of the blue. Perhaps you have a relative like Doug. You like them till you meet them. Doug Wilson, brother Doug. I don't even have a photo. Mind you, under my pillow, the night he left, I found a photocopy of his arse.
Bonkers.
Are you familiar with the song Bonkers by Dizzy Rascal? I wasn't till I heard it coming from the headset of the youth who sat next to me on the tube in the summer of 2012. He was about 19, a floppy-haired sandy boy. He seemed rather nervous. I got out at Hampstead. So did he. Then I saw him again an hour later from my flat, looking up at my window. And there he was again, next morning, in Marks and Spencer, hovering near me by the fruit. When I turned to look at him, he stared at the fruit, pretending to care about mangoes.
Can I help you?
No, it's fine.
I keep seeing you.
Well, yeah. I've been trying to pluck up the courage to talk to you, actually.
Go on, then.
Okay. I'm Teddy, by the way. Teddy Baker. You know my mum. Susie Baker.
Susie Baker. Susie Baker. I knew that name. I stared at the mangoes. Nothing. I stared at the kiwi fruits. Still nothing. Then I saw the melons.
Susie Baker, the journalist. She interviewed me once. Please give her my regards.
I will. Yeah. Thanks.
So, Teddy's short for Edward or Theodore, maybe?
Oh, it's actually short for Rupert. I was Rupert till I was, like, 6. Then I got obsessed with Teddy Sheringham. When he scored that goal for Man U in the Champions League final...
The injury time goal. I've watched it 100 times. I'm a lifelong Man U supporter.
Yeah, I know. Oh, listen. I have to give you this.
He suddenly gave me a bit of paper. I thought it was something for me to sign, but it was a list of names. There was me, and there were 3 others whose identities must remain secret. A football manager, a movie star, and a man who was once in Margaret Thatcher's cabinet.
What is this, Teddy?
Okay. My ma gave me that list on my 18th birthday. Those are the people she interviewed before I was born. They're the candidates.
For what?
Did you and she do the nasty? My mum can't remember.
The nasty?
Sorry. That's what we call it at Eton.
I couldn't possibly comment, Teddy.
Okay. But basically, the thing is, are you my dad?
Listen, look, here's a tenner. Will you go and pay for this camembert, please?
It's stuck to your hand.
Take the box, then. Go on. Then we'll talk.
Teddy went off to pay for my camembert, and I went the other way and ran out of the store. I just couldn't handle it. Enough already with the family secrets. I ducked into HMV in case he came after me. And there it was. Another compilation album in the same series. Now that's what I call father. I took it home and played it, and wondered what to do.
Close your eyes. Have no fear.
Hi. Sorry, I lost you. I got your change for the Camembert.
We do all the things I did with Doug, but it's so much better with Teddy. He understands the offside rule.
That was never off. He was level, right?
Absolutely.
At the Ivy, Teddy recognizes everyone. I don't, of course. Not anymore.
Is that... what's her name? Ginger Spice.
That's Florence Welsh. Florence and the Machine. Now she can really wail.
You must make me a cassette.
What's a cassette?
Naturally, you're wondering, am I or aren't I? I'm not saying. Thing is, I'm happy being Teddy's dad. I'd rather it was me than the football manager or the man from Thatcher's cabinet. Not that we ever use the word dad. That's verboten.
Okay, before the next episode, who wants a glass of wine?
No, thank you.
Celia?
Thanks, yes. A glass of white wine would be lovely.
Sauvignon, Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio. I did some serious wine buying, guys.
Chardonnay, thank you.
Excellent. Back in a nanosecond.
So, come on.
Come on what?
Who is he? Where did you meet him? Is he an actor?
No.
God, you're hard work sometimes.
I knew his mother a long time ago.
He thinks I might be his father.
My God!
His mother can't remember if we did the nasty.
And did you?
Well, no.
So you're not his father?
No, but it's so nice. I've never had a son before.
You've got to tell him, Richard. You can't make this boy think you're his father when you're not.
I will, I promise. These things take time.
Listen, I forgot to put the wine in the fridge. Is there any ice in that freezer?
That's not a freezer, Teddy. It's a photocopier.
Really? It's so huge.
I know. I should never have bought it. One day I'll tell you why I did. So, are we ready for another episode? Celia? Every time I hear